Okay, world, we are back with another episode of Being Frank, the podcast. It's your girl, Malika X, and as always, we have something special for you today. Stay tuned, keep listening, and if you have questions, legit questions, because you know how some of you motherfuckers could be, I'll answer them directly, or maybe I'll save them for the next show. Today's guest brings a unique perspective to this ongoing conversation, especially with her working in a male-dominated field as a truck driver. We met under some pretty unique circumstances and somehow managed to remain friends, but I'll let her tell her version of that story. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Okay, welcome to another episode of Being Frank, the podcast. We have our special guest with us today. You want to state your name for the people and give them a little bit of background, talk about how we met, and we're going to get right into the show.
Okay, well, I'm T. I go by T. Mm-hmm. And we've been knowing each other for maybe about a little, like maybe 3 years, a little over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we met on social media and intentionally, as you know, like it was a date nap or whatever. But fast forward to now, we became, you know, very, very close friends, I would say.
I know we have remained really good friends. Okay. I feel like we talk at least once a week. And if we don't get a chance to talk, we find a way to talk to each other, mm-hmm. or at least check in on each other with a text message, or you hit me up on Messenger or something like that.
Right.
Which I know a lot of people may say in this lifestyle, or even in a heterosexual straight lifestyle, you can't be friends with somebody that you were in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
But in our situation, it was different. We are very adults. First of all, we are adults in this, and you know, we figured out a way to make it work, even though we couldn't work in a relationship, right?
Right. That's exactly right.
So tell me and our listeners just some background on how we met on that dating app, because I'm sure they're all like, this girl is always on some app meeting somebody, or some type of social media meeting somebody. But in my adult life, I'm kind of recluse. I stay in the house a lot, mm-hmm. and I don't get out much.
You get out more than me. Anyways, but yeah, I mean, it's you know, it was 2015, I think. Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, at this day and age, like meeting on social media is what people do. Is, you know, you don't have to go out the house and go to like a party and meet nobody and exchange numbers and stuff. It's, that to me right now is like weird. But
that's great.
Yeah, it's weird nowadays. But yeah, when we met, you know, came across like pictures of each other and chatted a little bit on the app, and then, you know, after conversation, because
you DM me after you saw my picture and read my profile.
It wasn't really a DM because I'm extremely shy, so I sent like the automatic, you know, hey there thing, you know, that just sends an automatic message, and that's how everything started, because I really drop the ball every time I have to talk to someone first. So I just let the app do that for me.
You are an introvert, so I will say that's probably accurate in the way you describe it, because as I've gotten to know you over time,
nothing,
you know, I see that part of you, but with us, like, I get to talk to you about anything under the sun because we've gotten that close. But with other people, it's not that way. It's not so much. You're kind of socially awkward, nigga.
Well, I mean, it's not. Look, now today is acceptable to be an introvert. Like, that's popular nowadays. Back with it, like, I actually like have sweaty palms and stuff. Because I had to meet new people. But it's just like, you know, it's trust issues, you know, and things that I've been through in my, you know, past and things like that that make me not want to trust random people. But, you know, it's good to meet people sometimes. And I understand that, but that's just the way that I am. So.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being an introvert. I do say that that's a personality trait that gets overlooked often, and a lot of times our introverts are our most creative type of people, and they have a lot to contribute, especially because they're thinkers internally. Yeah. They think before they do. So if you don't have an introvert in your circle, you need to get you one, because they are the people that could see the whole room before you get a chance to see and analyze things. Because that's the kind of person that you have been for me. And I come to you with different things to ask your advice and all of that, because you just bring a different perspective to things. So that's why we are really here. You talked about not, you know, reaching out first and, you know, just being a little bit more shy, socially awkward, and allowing the app to do that for you because of your trust issues. Let's talk about that. That night where we were messaging back and forth, because it was hilarious to me, but we almost didn't make it off the app as like associates, let alone now 3 years down the road being friends, right? Because of something I did.
Right. And I'm not a, you know, uber serious person. Like I joke and stuff. Like when you get to know me, I think I am kind of comical, but you played like this little joke when we finally got off of the app and we were like texting and things like that. And it was to the point where it was like, okay, it's time to FaceTime and things like, you know, exchange pictures before we FaceTime each other. And you sent me the first picture that you sent me. I said, send me a picture that's not online. And you sent me a picture of...
Because you thought I was trying to catfish you for something. Right. Reason. I don't know why.
I mean, but you got the check, you know? You got the check. So you sent me a picture, you know, jokingly of, it was a dude's genitals in underwear, and I flipped.
It wasn't his genitals. It was just him in his boxer briefs.
And I just was just like, no.
It was him in his boxer briefs from the neck down.
I didn't notice it. And I didn't want to notice that. I didn't want to open a picture and see that. Like, you know, that's the first thing I noticed. And then I thought, you know, he was one of those weirdos, you know, weirdo, like, you know, stud masculine females. And I was just like so grossed out. And that's why I had you like call me. And I was like, nah, you got to send me Instagram and Facebook.
You were probing a lot after that because you did not believe that I was a female, which we'll get into some of that type of thing in a minute when we get to our labels part. But I just thought that was hilarious, and you did not like it at all. And here I am cracking up, thinking it was funny.
Dead serious.
Dead ass serious. And did not want to talk to me. Like, you wrote me off for a minute. And I was like, well, whatever. Like, why would I catfish somebody? First of all, I am who I am. Why don't you believe my pictures? Like, and I just wasn't sensitive to that platform where people are catfishing one another. That just wasn't something I even knew about until you start telling me about how people get played on there all the time with these fake profiles.
Yep.
Well, I'm happy we were able to get over that. And that whole how we met thing was super crazy. but we have become good friends since then, and we've shared a lot. People don't know this, and I think this is my first time saying it on the show, but you were one of the first people I dated after cancer.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
I mean, it wasn't difficult or anything. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still a human being. Like I remember I was on the road. I was coming back from Atlanta in the truck. And you told me about everything that you went through. You just had a little minute of honesty, and you were like, well, I'm gonna give you some time to think about it and I'm gonna call you back. And no, actually, you told me to call you back when I thought of it. So I took maybe 5 minutes and I'm like, what am I actually thinking about? It's not like you can help it. It's things that happen to, people. It doesn't change the person who you are. It's just, things that happen in life. So I called you back, I think 5 minutes later, and I was just, I started the conversation as if you didn't even ask me a question. And it just went on from there. I don't have a problem with that. What is that gonna change?
Right. Yeah. And you never treated me differently. And I thank you for that, because I was at a very vulnerable state in my life where I didn't feel pretty. I didn't feel like a woman anymore. There were so many things that I was dealing with. And I just really wanted to feel normal again. So that's what took me to that app. Which, me being kind of recluse in my house, yes, I get out, but that was a part of my life where I wasn't getting out as much. And I definitely wasn't, meeting people in this lifestyle. It's hard enough. So the app really helped me kind of get back into the swing of things with dating. And, you were definitely my first and one person that I allowed to see me completely without the weave, without the makeup. And I thank you for that, just really helping me get back to myself, even when I didn't feel like myself. I don't know if I ever shared that with you, but thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Such a little sweetheart. And things like that, I really don't, like I said, it's nothing, it happens in life, and it's nothing to really, hold anybody at fault.
Well, it was a difficult time for me, and I mean, as we continue the podcast, I think that's another piece of me that I want to explore with people, because people don't even know that I'm a cancer survivor. They just see me like this. And just think everything is all good. So I want to open it up and really give my authentic self. And one way that I was doing that is through exploring, people see me, I'm a woman, I'm a Black woman, but then they don't realize I'm a Black lesbian woman. So,
right. You got many umbrellas you fall under, lesbian, woman, educator, cancer survivor,
right? So I'm doing this to help share my story and things behind it that I've learned along the way, and just to really try to provide insight and strengthen others that may be struggling with something, or just being a little beacon of light for hope for somebody that might be out there and trying to figure things out. Cause I know I was trying to figure things out, not necessarily with my sexuality, because I knew who I was and what I liked, but I was still within this lifestyle, not understanding some of the language of the lifestyle. And I'm an older chick. I'm a little bit older than this younger generation, which, is some things that differ from the older generation to the younger generation. Just like with any generation, your moms and them probably told you, we don't do it like that. And, now I find myself saying that about the youngins that's coming up. No shade to them, but we didn't do it like that. So one of the things that we didn't do was have all of these different labels. So I want to first start with that part and just talk a little bit about how you identify and what's your label.
Well, how I identify, you know, I just, so if you ask me that question, I'm just say I like women a lot. But if, you know, someone is, you know, interested in me, they would automatically assume that I'm either stud or I've heard butch, dom, whatever that is, because I'm from down south. We don't say that down here. And even, you know, because of, you know, a life experience, trans. So,
Back up. Yeah. You're giving the people a whole lot. Now, the purpose of this show is to unpack these different labels so people could better understand this lifestyle that I'm a part of, and, you know, that many people that they don't even realize is a part of, their neighbors, their cubicle mates, some people that are friends of mine probably are like, I never knew she was a lesbian, as they're listening to this podcast. So you talked about a stud. Tell us what defines a stud. We got to break it down for the people because they don't know.
I mean, from my perspective, it's, you know, just a woman who wears masculine clothes. They're still, you know, aware that they are a woman, but they're, you know, a little more dominant, the feminine counterpart.
Okay. And what you said, butch, some people may look at you and think that
a butch or a dyke or a bulldagger, they're clearly, you know, only interested in women. They're clearly only masculine. They never, like, you know, a stud may from time to time, you know, let someone touch them. You know, they have breasts and stuff like that. You may want to be touched. But a butch or dyke or anything, they just take that whole role of a male or a masculine, and they just do that whole little, you know, thing. Sometimes it's not that extreme, but, you know, they just, I think that they're in that role so hard that, you know, nothing else can really break. They don't want to be a woman sometimes, but then sometimes, you know, you have some that, yeah, I'm a woman, but I'm just not that type of woman. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to do all this and that. So that,
so do you think it comes down to what separates the stud and the butch is not necessarily their...
I think it's aggressive.
How aggressive they are. It's not the clothes, because they both tend to wear masculine or boy clothes. Some studs may switch up every now and again and may have, you know, moments where they are androgynous, but you don't find them in those dresses and those skirts and getting a face beat. Some softer studs, which I learned there are labels within that stud title, may do that. But when you talk about the hard studs, as you said, you could be referred at sometimes.
I mean, I've been called, you know, at one point in my life, I think everybody went through this little phase, like, you don't know sometimes what you're... When I was younger, I would say that, but I just speak for me because I can't speak for everybody else. When I was younger, I just thought that that's how it was supposed to go. You know, my role is, I'm the nigga in this
relationship. Jesus, you know, with the N-word. I'm trying my best.
I'm sorry. But it's just, it's like, you know, that was my role. I just wanted to be super dominant. And, you know, I thought that's what it was all about. I've learned and I've grown, luckily, away from that whole thing. But, yeah, it's never really been about, you know, getting in touch with the feminine side for me. But there's some studs out there who do that.
And you talked a little bit about butch, bulldagger, and dyke, which I've been schooled over these past interviews where, you know, I might joke and kid when I'm talking to somebody that's in this lifestyle, and I use the word dyke loosely, especially when I refer to the youngins. I might call them a baby dyke, or a dyke movement is, you know, like almost like a movement of dykes, and I might say that. But you you use the term as like a way people identify, whereas I've been told, and I've seen this happen too, even for myself, it's been used as more of a negative connotation when talking about a female that's gay. That and bulldog.
Yeah, like it could be, you know, it could be both. Like, you know, you get a group of studs around each other. They, you know, they might be talking about some other dykes. You know, I've done it. You get around, you know, some gay guys that just like how the gay guys, they don't like to be called, you know, faggots, but amongst themselves, they may call each other, you know,
F word
or whatever. Yeah, the F word, you know, whatever like that. It's just all about, you know,
comfortability,
respect. Right. How comfortable you are with the person that you're talking to. Like, if somebody comes around and, you know, they're clearly not in our community and they're just trying to talk and they, you know, throwing that F word and D word all around like that, then of course we're going to want to, you know, check right. them. But
throw some hands, Mike. That might happen because, you know, the gays love to tear something down, honey. They fight to the death.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just... It depends, you know. It's just
now you touched on some of my guests haven't talked about within the dominant roles of the stud, the butch, the bulldagger, and we're going to use the word dyke. I know some people aren't going to like that, but you talked about how within those roles, some of it has to also do not just appearance and, you know, more traditional roles or being a more masculine person in the relationship, but you also touched a little bit on like preferences in the bedroom. So that part we have not discussed at all on the show with any of my guests, but you talked about like where some studs are still in tune with their body and
someone touch me nuts and they don't like to be touched.
I feel like you're like disconnecting. You gotta stay in one place so we don't have technical
issues. I'm in one place. I'm sorry, it might be just the connection, but some studs are touch me nuts, and what that means is they just don't want to be touched in those very feminine places, like, you know, the breast or vagina or whatever what it is. I can't say it's an age group that does that. I know.
I don't think it's about age.
No, because when I was younger, like I said, I was still like trying to figure this whole thing out. I was maybe like 19. I really didn't want anybody touching me, you know, like that, because it was just weird. But it's what it was. Women, when you get to the age where you start dating women instead of girls,
right?
You know, it's an experience, and they'll teach you, you know. Look, it's still a woman.
Okay? Right.
Especially with me, because I've dated mostly women who were like either bisexual or I was their first girlfriend. So it was just like, okay, I'm with you because you're a woman. So we're going to have to work around this whole, you know, you don't want to be touched thing. And, you know, that's how, that was my experience with it. But there's still some people now in like their 20s, late 20s, 30s, maybe even 40s, you know, that don't like to be touched. You know,
right? So they just, so for my audience, when we say touch me not, is they have taken on more of a male role, and all they do is
it's what they think is a male
what
role.
They think. Thank you for correcting me on that. And this is from our perspectives, our opinion.
Males love to be touched everywhere, from what I understand.
You said what now? Say that one more time.
I think males like to be touched everywhere. Yeah. I don't see. Like many males turn down, you know, head or anything like that.
Right.
So it's about their mentality, what makes them feel feminine. And I feel like if they are touched, you know, in certain places where they, you know, clearly are feminine, that more feminine, that then, you know,
what
their
defines a woman, then that's the part mentally they want to disassociate with. They don't want that pleasure from that part. But you also talked a little bit about, you jumped into a little piece about trans, and we have not had the opportunity in any of the other episodes to go into like really defining trans men, and trans women and their voice in the LGBTQ, and I heard it's an IA. I have to add on to that, which I'm still learning. Again, if you have any input, suggestions, concerns, questions you want to add to the conversation, remember to submit those over at beingfrankmedia.com under the podcast button. There is a submit questions. So we are just really trying to unpack this thing, but you have been the closest thing that I've experienced as, not to say a trans man, but in the trans lifestyle. Like, I have not had the opportunity to hear their voice or their side. So that's why I kind of preface this conversation with, please give us some input, give us some feedback, because I know with trans men and trans women, they really have never identified as the gender role that they've been assigned to. They always have felt, and this is, you know, just for me and my research and you know, talking to you and other people, I've come to learn or better understand Janice Mock. I'm not sure if you read her book and her interview that she did on Super Soul Sunday. I mean, it was very enlightening because at birth, they feel like, well, not at birth, they are not conscious of it, but very early on in their life, they are very conscious of, I have not been assigned to the correct body. So,
right. And I felt that way, like, that very young. Like, I think my first experience feeling like that was when I was in elementary school. And I always, like, you know, it was some sort of, like, I felt weird. Like, I felt like the feeling was, you know, weird. Why do I feel like I'm not, you know, a girl? Or why do I like certain things? Like, I, even at a very, very young age, my mom was like, you know, I made everybody take back my little Barbie, you know, the little cars, mm-hmm. the battery operated cars, things. And I made everybody take it back and go get me a G.I. Joe mm-hmm. one. And, you know, now I was like, what, 4 or 5? And I didn't know it. I hadn't seen anything. Like, you know, I just thought mentally in my mind that, you know, I can be like, you know, little boys. My cousin got one. Why can't I get one? I want one. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, just like more things that were, you know, for boys. Now, back in 2013-14, I, you know, was at a point where I was, you know, starting to transition.
And that's when I met and you.
It was a little before yeah. then, because it was before we met that I actually, you know, took it serious and started, you know, the steps into transitioning. But I, you know, thought about a lot of things and I kind of slowed the process down for myself, because I think that I just jumped straight into mm-hmm. it, you know, on to the physical part. Mentally, yes, I'm already there, but you know, there's no time stamp on when you have to, like, transition. You can transition for 10 mm-hmm. years. You can transition for 10 days, 10 months, whatever, until you get to the point where you actually do it. I just felt like, you know, not that time wasn't the time, and, you know that thing. But as far as, like, the trans thing goes, you know, I'm very open to anybody, you know, experience living trans life experience. I respect them, you know, just as I would want to be respected. Mm-hmm. Pronouns, things like that, you know, and even like, you know, you got the F word, mm-hmm. faggot, dyke, and tranny, you know, that's a offensive yeah. word as well. So, you know, it's things like that. The only reason why I said it just now is so people can actually hear it. So they right. know.
You that
know,
what is not how you refer to gay men, right. gay women, so or transgender right. men and women. You don't do that. So I appreciate you for being so honest and just open to talk about that part, because I know that is a part of your life where you continue to, you know, go back and forth with, and you know this is what you want, but it's a process, right. like you said, not something and I want our listeners to know that it's not something that you are flighty about. It's something that you are very serious about, and it's just that it's a process, and you're taking your time with going through that process for the sake of your mental health, your well-being, your physical health, because it's nothing to play with. It is, you know, medicines, things like that. Surgeries is a serious matter. So,
right.
But let's get into the next piece where we talk about the most out-of-pocket thing, because even as someone that is in that phase where I feel like I could say you are transitioning, but you have some things that have happened as a result of you looking very masculine, right? That have happened that I know, and I don't want to get into it. I would rather you talk about it because you had the firsthand experience with.
Right. I mean, a lot of times, you know, males and females, they approach a certain way that's different. Like at work, I have like women approach me, you know, very touchy feely and things like that. And I feel like they feel like they can. Because,
but they can't. That's out of pocket.
It is, but it's just it's different. They can't do that
right.
To a man, and they won't do it to a woman because it's weird to a woman. But to me, because I guess like they feel
so
like
because you're gay, you could be sexually harassed in the workplace. No, that's what it is.
It is, and at the same time, you know, me being, you know, I'm not flirty or anything.
Now you're gonna give my people some bad technology, bad audio. You're gonna be like, I'm not listening to her no more.
It might be yours, because you know, it's not me. I've been in this
product. You know how I feel about my Apple products. Don't do me. Whatever.
Yeah, like they I guess they feel like they can do that because they know that I'm, you know, I guess they feel like, well, this is what you like, so. And it is kind of like offensive, but at the same time,
well,
I won't get it. I won't say that.
You're shy, and your personality, you are not going to make the waves versus somebody.
I'm not going to cause any conflict. Exactly. I'm not going to get your hand off anything like that, especially not in the workplace. It's difficult.
And this won't air until after, but today, many people don't know March 31st. Is Trans Visibility Day. And I really meant to say this before we got into the out-of-pocket piece, but I appreciate you for being visible, letting us know, educating my listeners on the trans men versus trans women agenda. And
that's just your perspective,
just one of many perspectives. But I think the thing is, we don't have the conversations. We don't sit down with people and ask the people that are most affected by it. We want to make assumptions about it. So until we start these conversations, we're only going to have hearsay and make asses of ourselves, even people that are in the life, because I had to think twice about bringing on a trans man, which, you know, you're my friend, but at the same time, how could I say in your gender assignment is a lesbian, when if you are with a woman, you are in a heterosexual relationship, which people are going to be kind of blown away. That might be their aha, like, oh my God, that's not really true. But if I am a man and I'm with a woman in any other situation, that's considered heterosexual relationship, not homosexual relations. So to have you come under the L word is really kind of like me juggling both, the best of both worlds, and trying to just make sure I get everybody's voices heard, and especially the content that you have. I think you bring so much from, you know, the stud and more dominant side of the L word. I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to speak to that. But you also have a thing with drag queens. So, yes.
I don't want to say that I have a thing with drag queens. I don't have, you know, I love everybody.
Right.
Be free, be you are, and everything like that. It's just, I've been approached by, like, you know, drag queens and, you know, things like that. About, like, or either they flirt with me I've been asked by like gay men before, and trans women, like about dating, and it's that's fine. I'm not one of those persons who, would, blow up a spot or
So
anything
let's
like
be
that.
clear.
But
Pause
it's
for a minute. Pause. We need a moment to like process what you just said. And I think my listeners are gonna need a moment. You said you're okay with dating trans women, but
I didn't
okay,
say
but
that,
you're fine
but
with trans women.
approaching me, what I'm saying, to get in that. I'm not gonna flip out on them if they approach me like, hey, I want to date
But
you.
when it comes to drag queens,
It comes to me actually wanting to date them, like give, date them back. No, it's not what I
right.
prefer. I
Everybody
prefer,
has their preferences, but the
right.
trans life versus the drag life are two different lives too.
When you're a trans woman, you
Right.
are a woman.
That's what I want people to
So,
understand.
you're a woman of trans experience. When you're a drag queen, you're a man, most, times a gay man who dresses in drag.
Meaning women's clothing and do performances. Right.
Do performances and things like that. I can't say I'm open to dating a trans woman or, a woman of trans experience. I like to say that. That
Okay.
sounds better. I haven't, but my preference, like you said, my preference is it's cisgender, women who were not, born women. And that's just my preference. There are some, who would date them, but I just haven't had that experience yet.
And that's okay.
Look, I have nothing against them or
Right.
anything like
We
that. I
no
still, dream
shaming.
about
I
women.
love to put that on.
It would just be something like new for me, and I would probably not. I would probably, date or anything, but it just probably wouldn't be a sexual thing. But I hate to even
Right,
go
because
into it.
that's a
It's
whole
very,
nother.
I don't have all the words for it because, that too
Right.
can be
And
offensive because I don't want to
I want us to wrap that up right there because I think we touched on it enough to give people something to think about. As we think about these labels and we want to confine people to boxes, it's just impossible to do. Is the point of me going into that part? You just can't confine people to those boxes because you're just going to continue to be confused. We're not the ones that's confused. We are loving who we love, and that is all. And that is as simple as it get. And if everybody else can get to that point, I think we would live in a better world. Is there anything like as far as like I like to always, me, I'm always keeping it positive, a ray of sunshine that you just want to share with people as far as this lifestyle is concerned, because if people have like misconceptions about the life. Like they think it's, a bunch of queens fighting, tearing down the club, or depressed people ready to commit suicide. I mean, those things happen in the life, but that is not what the life is all about. Like that is.
I too, like, I don't like to call it the life, like as in the lifestyle, like it's something like an
Alternative.
alternative
I
or something.
get you. I need to do a better job with that and not describe that.
I mean, but we're people, we're human, we're learning. That's what these conversations are for. I don't like to, label it as a lifestyle, like it's because when you say it's a lifestyle,
Choice.
it's more like a choice, and for it's not a choice. It's just who they are, and
Turn your phone off. See what you're doing to my podcast. I'm gonna have to get on you.
no, I also, I got the
That's your problem. Finish up your thought
hotline.
before we wrap this up.
Well, yeah, it's not just, a lifestyle. It's not a choice for a lot of people. So saying that, that's, something that we need
Do
to,
a better job.
look into,
Yeah. Is
stop
there
doing,
any other things?
especially at us that
right,
way.
like something foreign or mutant or some, yeah. Is there any other thing that you want to clear up, or misconceptions, or shameless plugs that you want to do before we wrap this up?
I don't at the time. I mean, I just, you know, I love everybody. I wish everybody could, you know, love everyone the same way that I love everyone, respect everyone. That's about
well,
it.
I thank you again for coming on the show. If you have questions for T, you can direct them to, again, beingfrankmedia.com, or send email to social@beingfrankmedia.com. Hopefully everybody has walked away with something new and maybe had an aha moment, light bulb goes off. But I just want to close by saying thank you, thank you, thank you for doing this, taking time with me, and just being frank with the people. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
So that's it for this week. Hopefully someone walked away with a better understanding of the topics we discussed. If you're looking for new content, remember we're here each week. You can find me on Anchor at Being Frank Media, or on Apple Podcasts at Being Frank Media. If you have questions, remember to send them in to social@beingfrankmedia.com. Keep listening, keep following, and like and share the podcast. I'm going to keep hustling and keep grinding to give you great content. Remember, this is Being Frank, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. Until next week, peace.